The title of today's message is Spiritual Warfare Part 2. Last week was Part 1. Next week will be Part 3. Here's what I hope we can walk away from today, is that we are 100% aware that every morning we wake up, there are demons attacking us every single morning. I talked about this last Sunday. My eyes were still closed. I woke up, my eyes are closed. I haven't even opened my eyes yet. And I'm having all these discouraging and depressing thoughts. And I thought to myself, devil, can you just wait till I get a cup of coffee at least? Like, come on. Like, I want you to know that you're not fighting against flesh and blood. If you have somebody at work named Eddie who's driving you crazy, if your name is Eddie, it's just an example. Let me change his name. If you have a moron at work that's driving you crazy, I want to let you know that it's not Eddie you're fighting. You're in the middle of a warfare. And the enemy will whisper into that person's ear to torment you. My oldest daughter is on the front row. She's typically away at college, but she's home for a couple weeks during the holiday season. But when she was in high school, she came back home and she's like, there's this one person that's insulting me with an insecurity that I have that I have never told anyone. I've never told them. And I for the life of me, I can't figure out how they figured it out. And then it dawned on me, the only way they could ever know is if the devil told them. The devil will whisper into somebody's ear and tell us exactly what would hurt the most. And so we look at people and we're like, what is going on right now? I want to let you know, every single temptation, every single moment of depression, every time you think that you are stuck in a season that you will never get out, that's the devil. If there is a recurring sin in your life that you just can't stop, it's the devil. I want you to hear me say this. Not everything is a devil, but more things are a devil than what you realize. Like if the light is red, I can't tell you. It's, you know what I mean? If you're late for work, the devil wasn't in your alarm clock. You forgot to set the thing. Are you with me? Say yes. So I'm going to talk about two things that is involved in spiritual warfare. The first thing is prayer. The second thing is anointing. If you have 79 tattoos, you might as well just put 80. I want you to get this tattoo. Psalms 56:9. The Living Bible. If you are not going to ever write down a scripture in this church, I want you to write this one down. This scripture, if I can tattoo it, I would. If I could come into your house and put a magnet on your refrigerator, if I could put a bumper on your car, it would be Psalms 56:9 in the Living Bible. It says this, every time I pray, the tide of the battle turns. Every time I pray, If your children are fighting something and you're going, I don't know what's going on, I want you to know, every time you pray, the tide of the battle turns. Sometimes you'll meet somebody that just seems to be in perpetual devastation. I know people that every time I talk to them, they're going through something. It's perpetual devastation. If that person would just pray with passion. Now, let me give you an example. When waffles from IHOP come to your table and you go, thank you, Jesus, for this food. That's a passionate prayer that's about right here. Now, you don't want to really do more than that at IHOP. They'll ask you to leave. But there's another level of passion that you go to when you're in the middle of a battle. It's like it's coming from down here. It has nothing to do with how eloquent you are. When I pray passionately, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. It comes out here. And I want to say this. If you only pray for a battle to shift one time, you really don't want that battle to shift. These are prayers that you are relentless over. In Psalms 5:3, it says this, every time I wake up, I'm going to be back at it again, laying the pieces of my life on your altar, waiting for the fire to fall. Every single time I wake up. That's the attitude. Every time you pray, the tide of the battle turns. I've got a friend of mine named Matt over here. Not all of you guys know who he is, so he doesn't have to feel like the whole church is looking at him. But his name is Matt, and I don't think he'll mind me saying this. If he does, he'll definitely let me know later on. But he was addicted to, I think, every drug. Was that about right? He was pawning everything to get more. Every gift, everything that had any value, he's pawning it. And then he goes to a rehabilitation center, and somebody in there was a Christian. And he sat down and he prayed with Matt. And when he left that rehabilitation center, he walked out and he was a completely different person. Now he's on the third row over here, worshiping God. The third row. He used to cash in things to get drugs. Now he's one of the most generous people I've ever met. My daughter, I have a daughter who's 11, and she said, Mr. Matt is very generous to people, but he's also very generous to himself. He likes to buy himself presents. But the contrast, how in the world can somebody go from a pawn shop to the house of God? How can somebody do that? That he's fighting demons. Most people have no clue about. I had somebody tell me this. He goes, Frankie, you don't know what it's like to be addicted to crack or cocaine. The best way I can describe it is if I put a bag over your face like a trash bag and you can't breathe and it's sucking into your mouth and you can't breathe. And then somebody comes and pokes a hole in the trash bag. And you're so, that's the only hole you got. And that's how you live when you're wanting the next drug. How does a person get from here to there? Somebody was praying. The tide of the battle. Come on. The tide of the battle shifts. He's probably brought more church people to church than half of the people in the church. How does that happen? The tide of the battle changes when you've got demons like a pack of wolves coming after you. And make no mistake, that's how they are. There are certain demons that are assigned to you. I can walk by a mountain of cocaine and just kind of kick it over. That's zero temptation for me. That demon is not assigned to me. Now, the demons of depression and anxiety, they've been assigned to me. See, I can remember being 5 years old going into a panic attack. Those are assigned to me. I'm anointed to preach this, but I got to live it just like everybody else. I got to tell myself, Psalms 56:9, every time I pray, the tide of the battle turns. Psalms 56:9, every time I pray, the tide of the battle turns. I'm sharing with you, but I got to use that weapon too. I'm in warfare just like you, but I'm also just like you. I'm winning. You are winning. You are winning. I'm winning. You're winning. You may say, oh, no, I ain't winning. Where are you right now at this moment? Right now, at this moment, right now. I'm not talking about yesterday. I'm not talking about last week. I'm not talking about last night. Where are you now, right now, at this moment, right now? You are in the house of the God of the Most High. You are in His presence. Did somebody grab you by the ear and bring you here? No, you're a grown man. You're a grown woman. You decide, I'm going to go ahead and go to the house of God. Now, you may say, no, my mama did grab my ear this morning. You're here. You are here. And if you're here, you're winning. If you're here in the house of God, you are winning. You made, I don't know what decision you made last week, but the decision you made this morning was a godly decision. You go, well, I don't know how I'm going to do this week. Let me tell you how you're going to do this week. Psalms 56:9. Every single time you pray, the tide of the battle turns. How many people here prayed while worship was going on? How many people sang while worship was going on? How many people, at the very least, even if you didn't sing, you lifted your chin to the Lord? How many people here allowed your affection of your heart to go towards the Lord? You are worshiping Him, doing all of those things. The tide of the battle is shifting. Those demons that are after you, they're gone. Psalms 34, verse 1, there is an angel of the Lord above your head to deliver you. This is warfare. Are you with me? Say yes. The only people who lose are the people who don't pray. And the people who pray always win. Are you with me? Say yes. All right, let's go to the next point. The next point is anointing. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, it says that the anointing breaks the yoke. Now, yoke, for those of you that don't know, is you take, back in the day, they don't do it now, but whenever they were plowing fields, they would put a plow behind two, what do I call them? Oxen. I wasn't calling them bulls. I wasn't calling them longhorns. I was going to call, but oxen was not on my mind. Oxen. And they would have like railroad ties? Yeah, but they're like, is it called railroad ties? Yeah, okay. So it's like, I'm sorry, I speak for a living, but can't figure out what I'm doing, but they would have like railroad ties with it, like two holes in it, and they would drop it over these oxen. And the reason why I would drop it over is they could be easily controlled that way. And so what the enemy wants to do is he puts a yoke on you so that he can control you, right? So he can make you down, he can make you depressed, he can make you think like this, he can make you feel like this. He can get other people and drag them over to you, and then he can grab your neck and pull you down. Let me tell you this, your feelings, your thoughts, your emotions often follow your chin. When your chin drops, the enemy is having a lot of fun with you. When your chin is up, the enemy has no power. How do I know that? I've lived it. When I'm walking and my chin drops, like, whoa, I'm in trouble. I better get that back up. The yoke wants to pull me down. What breaks the yoke? The anointing breaks the yoke. If you are going to win, you have to believe in the anointing of God. The anointing is not something that you can see. It's something that you walk in by faith. I am anointed by God. I am anointed by God. Now, will you believe it while you're saying it? No. But that has nothing to do with anything. You just speak it. I'm anointed by God. It's like communion. Like the blood is, when you take communion, whether it's grape juice or wine, it's the blood, it's the anointing, there's power in it. I'm speaking at a women's conference in January. Oh, we are in January, wow. It's like in 2 weeks, we'll put it on the website if you're interested in going. It's usually several thousand ladies there. It's in Baytown, so it's about an hour and a half away if you're interested. We'll put it on the website if you want to go. But one of the speakers is a lady by the name of Jenny Donnelly. And what she noticed is, as long as she was outside of her house, she was full of joy. She's always laughing. Everybody wants to be around her. She's just fun. But as soon as she went into her house, the exact opposite, down, upset. Their family was fighting. Kids were the same way. As long as the kids were outside of the house, they were the life of the party. But every time the family came into the house, they were just fighting all the time. So Jenny said, this is spiritual. This is not a bad day. Just as a sidebar. If there's 10 chickens on a fence and one is squawking, that chicken's having a bad day. But if all 10 are squawking, there's a wolf in the woods. See, sometimes when there's one thing bad going on in my life, I'm just like, man, jeez. But when there's a lot of bad things going on in my life, there's a wolf in the woods. Are you with me? Say yes. So she walks into her house one day and she's like, there's a wolf and I'm tired of it. Remember what I said, the anointing breaks the yoke. She went to the grocery store and bought a whole bunch of grape juice, Welch's grape juice. She comes walking up to the cash register, boom, drops it everywhere. She gets home, she takes the grape juice. She says, Lord, I know that the anointing breaks the yoke, and I know that there's power in your blood. She went all the way around her house, all the way around, circle, in the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. Said, devil, this is God's house. Wouldn't you know that the family comes in and everybody is laughing, in a good mood. joyful. I remember my dad doing the same thing, but in a different way. My dad's Sicilian, so it's going to be different right off the bat. He walks to the back door of the house, opens the back door. Devil, I know you're in here. I don't know how you got in here, but get to stepping right now. Get out right now. Get out right now. Some of you need to go to the front door. Kick the front door open. Hey, I don't know how you came in here. I don't know if you came through, you know, the air conditioning vent. I don't know how you got in here. But here's the door. The door's open. Get to stepping. Bye-bye. See you later, Felicia. Mwah. Are you with me? Say yes. Last scripture. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. Samuel walks up to David. David's just a teenager. There's an evil king in Israel. His name is Saul. God's done with Saul. I'm done with you. You're out. I see a boy that knows how to pray. Man, if you know how to pray, God is going to give you more influence. You say, oh, I'm not good at praying. Get good. Okay, get good. If you can say, I love you over and over again, you're the best prayer in the room. Are you with me? Say yes. So Samuel comes up to David. Now keep in mind, David has older brothers that do everything but spit on him. The Bible says this, 2 Samuel 16, verse 13, that Samuel grabs the horn of anointing oil and he pours it on his head. This is what I love. I love this. In front of his brothers. See, sometimes the Lord will anoint you and make your enemies watch. Have you ever bumped into somebody that was mean to you several years ago? Have you ever bumped into somebody that you know they didn't believe in you? They thought you were going to be a loser your entire life? And then you see him and you're like, I've had two people, I grew up on the east side of Houston, I've had two people hear about me and come to see because they didn't believe it. Two. And I saw them and I was like, you're welcome once, get out of here. I don't want anyone talking about you. You know too much about the old Frankie. You need to get out right now. Get out of here. People that don't believe in you end up seeing what God does with you. Samuel anointed David in front of his brothers. And the Bible says this, second half of that verse. And from that day forward, the power of God rested on David. We're going to anoint every single person in this room. And I want you to know that from this day forward, a greater anointing than you've ever walked in your life will happen. You, the authority that you have, if you need to open up the door and tell the devil to get out, if you start praying for somebody and say, I need the tide of the battle to turn, when you walk out of here, those words will carry more authority than ever in your life. And so in a minute, I'm going to ask for everybody to stand. And I asked 9 guys. I could have asked 49 guys because we've got a lot of men in this room. I could have asked 109 guys that are men of God. But I asked 9. These men, if I were in trouble, I would ask for them to pray for me. In fact, Joe's sitting on the second row. I've been
We've watched each other go through battles for almost 20 years. And I told Debbie, who organized this service, I said, I want Joe praying for my family. I'm not praying for them. I want Joe to do it. And I know who usually sits in the sections. And we were very careful about where we placed them, because I know where you guys sit. I recognize your faces, in other words. If some people start sitting over here, I'm just going to be like, hey, where's the good-looking, bald-headed guy there? Where'd he go? Oh, he's over here. So we strategically placed these men of God to pray for you. So I'd like for everyone to stand up on your feet. After you're prayed for, you'll be free to go. So if our ushers and the people that are going to help me pray would all get in their positions and spots. They've all got anointing oil. Every person here is going to be anointed by God. We're just, you know, have you ever taken a cup of water and just, I've got this plant in my room that I take a glass of water and I go over there and I pour the water into the plant. Now, is the glass itself the important part? I could put the glass on the pot, on the plant, on the soil, and walk out, and nothing would happen. It's the water inside of the glass. So the people praying for you is just the glass, the vessel. It's the anointing that's blessing you. Why don't you raise your hands? Let me pray for you corporately. In the name of Jesus, Satan, I command you to leave this room. Every single demonic spirit, I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord, I speak strength into your life. I speak victory into your life. In Jesus' name, this will be the greatest year you've ever lived. I want many of you to go home and grab a piece of paper or grab a journal and write down 5 victories that you have to have this year and watch what God does. Watch what God does. You need to write them down, because he moves so swiftly and so stealthily that he'll take care of that problem. You won't even realize he took care of the problem because you're praying about the next battle. You got to look back and go, wow, I can't believe he took care of that. It happened so fast, I didn't even notice. So write it down in the name of the Lord. All right, let's begin praying. Part 3 for spiritual warfare will be next Sunday.